Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The first 4 hours were simply in a amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
And we're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. It's 10:17 to make sure that everybody knows we're doing this absolutely live. You good over there, Tone? Make sure that they can hear you into the microphone.
Oh, very excited. Very excited about today.
Okay, good. Want to make sure that we are all ready to talk, because I want to bring him on right now. I don't want to waste his time. I have been following this man's YouTube page since late last year, and I've always had an interest in him, and I'm very excited to bring him on. He will be at the Lorraine Theater June 24th, 7 p.m. Tickets still available. We'll talk about that coming up. Michael Francis joins us on the show. You probably know who he is. If you don't know who he is, you really should get to know who he is, because his journey is fascinating. He's a former capo of the Colombo crime family. He's a motivational speaker now, and he joins us right now on the hotline. Michael, thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
It's wonderful to hear you. It's wonderful to talk to you. You're coming to Lorraine on June 24th, but I also hear you're going to be... Now, I don't know if any of the appearances are official in Little Italy, but you will also be visiting Little Italy. Is that true?
I will be. You know, I was very excited when people heard that I was coming there. A lot of people reached out to me, and they wanted to help, you know, just promote the tour. And so I'll be down there visiting a couple of restaurants. There's also two very good friends. One is from the Current Year Records and Tapes. They've been great. They've been, talking this up a lot. Also, the Schnitz Ale Brewery and Schnitzel House Restaurant. So I want to repay their kindness, go down there, see them, spend some time with Little Italy. I hear it's a great one. I never visited the one in Cleveland, but I'm excited about it.
Michael, that's outstanding. We're going to put him, let me put him back on hold. We're going to try to reconnect here just momentarily. So, Michael, we're going to put you back on hold, and we'll reconnect here momentarily, because we want to make sure the connection is fantastic. Lima, it's wonderful to talk to you, by the way. Hello.
Yes, yes, and this is very fitting, because this past weekend it was the Godfather Marathon.
Yes.
I'm not sure what channel it was. It was
probably AMC.
BBC America.
Really?
Yeah, they had it. And I was watching because it was unedited, and a young, voluptuous Apollonia was in one of the scenes, and I can tell you that it was not censored. So
whoa.
Anytime you can watch a Godfather marathon on network TV and it's uncensored, I'm pretty dialed in.
Oh, my God. Michael also does movie reviews on his YouTube channel. Have you done the Godfather? I haven't seen it yet, if you have.
Yeah, a long time ago I did it. I mean, what's to say? It's one of the greatest movies ever made. So, you know, any review has to be a good one, right?
I would imagine so. I saw the Donnie Brasco one. I love that one. Goodfellas, they actually mention you in Goodfellas. And you're like, well, I remember from the YouTube page, you weren't even there, right? But they mentioned you anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a different family, different crew, but I knew Jimmy Burke really well, and I knew Paulie Vario, and the writer, you know, he got in touch with me, and I said, why'd you put me in that movie? He said, well, you had some name value, and I knew you knew the guys, so I put you in there. But other than that, you know, we were friends, but we didn't do much business together.
Michael Francis joining us here on the show.
I feel like we need much more in terms of an unraveling of the story of the Lufthansa heist. It's such a footnote in the movie and the downward spiral at the end of Goodfellas. I feel like we need so much more on it because it seems like it would be a thrill to watch.
Well, you know, again, I wasn't involved in that, but there was a lot of talk at the time, and, you know, Henry filled me in on some things, and, you know, Jimmy Burke was pretty tight-lipped about it because that's just the way he was, but... you know, everybody knew about it, and at the time it was a pretty big deal. It was one of the biggest heists ever. So, but there's another story behind it, which maybe at a later time we can get into.
Michael, why? I mean, it's we've seen all the movies. I mean, the general public has seen all the movies. You know, we've heard a lot of the stories, but why? You know, so many years into it, why do you believe that? Why do you know that the general public is so enamored? You know, with the lifestyle, with the history, everything having to do with the mob.
Well, you know, it's a strange thing. When I was in that life, you know, it was my life. It's what I did. I never realized just how intriguing the life is to people outside of the life. And I mean, all over the world. I mean, I've spoken, you know, Singapore, Australia, Europe, you name it. And there is a fascination. And look, you have to say it goes to, you know, the entertainment industry, the media, you know, they sensationalized it in such a big way. And a lot of the characters were bigger than life. I mean, you know, it was funny. About a year ago, I was in a market, and I went over to the magazine rack, and there was Al Capone on the front page of the magazine. So I opened it up. The entire magazine, like 130 pages, were about Al Capone's life. And you know, he's dead over 80 years. His time was in the 20s, but people are still fascinated with it. You know, John Gotti, you know, bigger than life, a lot of these guys. So, you know, people are just intrigued with the entire lifestyle. So, I mean, I get it. I really do.
But you said that, you know, the media has really served to sensationalize that life. I always felt by watching show like The Sopranos that they did everything to not glorify that way of life. I mean, they're penny pinching. It's not like these guys have so much money that they're on private jets. They're flying normal. There's some perks, but you're sitting there watching the show wondering if the risk is worth the reward. At least that was my takeaway.
Yeah, it's true in a way, but you know, I think The Godfather, you know, changed a lot of things because, you know, in a way it did glorify the life because it made those people look so powerful, and you know, obviously they were wealthy. You know, I can tell you this: when The Godfather came out, guys on the street, you know, acted differently. It really elevated the stature of that life in many ways. Godfather 1 and 2, and people were just intrigued by it. Now, movies that came afterwards, you know, maybe they didn't glorify the life, but they were certainly good films. You know, Donnie Brasco and you know, even Bronx Tale. You know, with Chaz Palminteri, who's a good friend. There's just something about it that people are just so intrigued by. You know, it's amazing. I talk to a lot of young kids. I go into prisons. I talk to these young gangbangers. And they'll look at me and they'll say, come on, Michael, you know, we saw the movies. You guys had the power. You had the women. You had money. And you had it going on. And I would say to them, but didn't you see the end of the movie? You know, who got killed, who went to jail, who lost everything? They don't see that part. They don't. They only see the, you know, the part that intrigues them. So, I don't know. It's crazy, but it certainly has an impact on people, no doubt.
Do you, as a guy who was formerly in the mob, are you still blown away by people still wanting to be in that lifestyle?
I am, you know. I mean, I think I'm seeing it a little less now than before. I mean, early on when I started speaking back in the, you know, late 90s and early 2000s, kind of different, but I think, you know, things have quieted down a lot in that life. You don't hear about it as much as you did during my era. Because, you know, I always say the golden era of the mafia in this country, especially in New York, was really from the 50s right through the mid-80s. that's when we controlled a lot. You know, we had access right into the White House. We controlled all the unions. We had, you know, a lot of weight in Wall Street and the markets. But that's changed a lot now. You know, the Racketeering Act and you know, the government crackdown on that life has really done some damage. You don't hear about it as much anymore. You know, it used to be, you know, you go back in that time, 70s, 80s, even the 60s, every other day in New York, you read something about that life, whether it was the New York Post, the Daily News, you know, the New York Times. Now it could be every 6 months, maybe you'll read something. So it's changed quite a bit.
You mentioned New York and, you know, so much of this is centered and based out of New York. But here in Cleveland, I mean, Danny Green is brought up constantly by, you know, our you know, different generations here. I mean, I was hearing about Danny Green, the Irishman, since I was born, basically, and how he was entangled. Youngstown, Kenny's got family from Youngstown. How big of a role was kind of that corridor, the Youngstown into Cleveland and on its way to Chicago? How big of a role did that play in, you know, the mafia's expansion?
Well, you know, it's a big deal. You know, there was that war going on between Danny Green and the Italians at that time. They had a seat on the commission. You know, at one time it was pretty active in Cleveland. When I come into town, we're going to talk about that. I don't want to get into it too much now because I'm going to spend some time on that on June 24th. But, you know, they had a big presence there. You know, Cleveland, also Youngstown for sure. You know, places like Chicago, Tampa, Florida. You know, New York was the center of power, and New York really controlled much of what was going on because we had five families back there, all very active. But, you know, there was a strong presence. Cleveland was one of those cities. You know, unfortunately, they went to war, and things got out of hand for the mob, at least, back in those days. But they certainly had an impact and had a presence.
Michael Francis joining us on the show will be appearing at the Lorraine Palace Theater June 24th. Tickets available, michaelfrancis.com. We'll talk about that coming up here in a moment. Can you take us through when you were made? Can you take us through that process?
Well, yeah. I mean, my dad proposed me into that life. You know, when you become a member, you can't just go up to somebody and say, hey, I'd like to join. You know, it's not like that. Somebody has to propose you, vouch for you, say you have what it takes. In my case, it was my father, who was the one-time underboss of the Colombo family. He was in prison at the time, and he proposed me for membership. You know, I had to sit down with the acting boss at that time because the boss, Carmine Persico, was in prison. And he ran things down for me, what was required of me, what I needed to do. And at that point in time, I was a recruit. And for the next two and a half years, I had to do anything and everything I was told to do to prove myself worthy to become a member. And for me, that happened on Halloween night in 1975. And it was a very, you know, formal ceremony, a very serious ceremony. They wanted you to understand the seriousness of what you were getting involved in. And it was a late night deal. There were six of us that night that were made. And we walked into a room individually. And then we took an oath. You know, the boss, the underboss, the consigliere was there. All the capo regimes, the captains were there. And we took a blood oath, you know, to never betray the oath of Omerita. You know, a lot of people think when you take the oath, you're taking an oath to lie, steal, cheat, kill. It's not like that at all. I mean, the oath of Omerita means silence. You're never supposed to even reveal that the life exists. That's what it's really about. But listen, we're street guys, and as a result, we did do things that were certainly illegal, against the law. Because we had a different feeling about the government. You know, I'm not justifying it, not saying it's right. I mean, I don't glorify the life. I left it. But, you know, that's how it goes. So for me, I was 24 years old when I got made.
Michael Francis joining us on the show. And you were young because at the time, if I'm not mistaken, they weren't accepting many people. And then they opened the book for you and you were very young. And then you had to assume a leadership role after that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they had an expression that the books were closed from the early 50s until the mid-70s when they opened it up. And that was really for security reasons. The only way all the families agreed to make somebody is if somebody in the family died. But then they opened it up in 74, 75. And they brought in all the families did, you know, a whole new batch of guys, and I was one of them. But when I came in, there were guys waiting 20 years to get made. So it was just timing for me. You know, it happened to happen at the right time.
You know, in the Godfather, part of what they would press upon in their storytelling was that you did have a level of sophistication within this group. You had certain educated people, lawyers, obviously. What would you find, or now that you've had time to kind of assess, you know, that whole experience? I mean, how sophisticated were a lot of the crime activity and the cohesion between the families? I mean, was this like the cartels of Colombia? I mean, how big of a deal was this in terms of financing? And being able to hide this from the government and all of that. I mean, what level of sophistication did it reach?
Well, it was very sophisticated. You know, you got to understand this was a sophisticated criminal organization that really had a lot of power. You know, we controlled the unions in the United States at that time. We controlled the Teamsters unions, you know, all the dock workers. You know, I had the restaurant and bartenders union. We had the security guards union. We had a tremendous presence in the union. And, you know, you control unions. Number one, you control millions of people. You control their voting bloc. And we had huge, huge pension funds that we could use and spread around to build Las Vegas, you know, as an example, to support politicians that we wanted to put in office that in turn did favors for us. This was a very sophisticated operation. You can't downplay it in that regard. You know, and I always say there was kind of like there was two standards in that life. You were either a racketeer or you were a gangster. You know, racketeers were the ones that, you know, really brought the money in and had more sophistication in the way they operated. And then the gangsters were the ones that did a lot of heavy work, you know, because they weren't capable of using that life to benefit them financially. And you probably had more gangsters than you did racketeers, but you had enough racketeers to support the family and make it grow into the criminal organization that it was. So, you know, don't ever downplay it in that regard because, you know, it shouldn't be. It was a big operation that had major, major impact all over the United States.
How did you, Michael Francis joining us on the show, how did you get out of that life?
Well, listen, you know, I made a decision, you know, back in the mid-80s. I saw what was happening in that life. You know, the racketeering law was absolutely devastating. The Bail Reform Act, the Sentencing Reform Act, a lot of guys were turning informants. You know, crimes that were never federal crimes like murder became federal crimes out of under the RICO statute. And I said, this life is seriously in trouble. I mean, everybody I knew was indicted for some kind of crime. I mean, I was in prison back in the early 80s with guys. I mean, God, we had more guys in prison than we had on the street. And then guys started to flip, you know, become informants because they were facing so much time. They couldn't deal with it. And I said, this life is in trouble. And, you know, basically, I wanted to try to preserve my life and a young woman that I was falling in love with that I wanted to marry. We've been married 38 years now. So I decided to try to walk away. And, you know, it was a whole plan that I had, and I was able to successfully do that. It cost me a lot. I spent 8 years in prison, and, you know, I had huge fines, you know, that I had to repay the government. But here I am, you know, 20-some-odd years later, it worked out, so I have no complaints.
And after you got out, you worked with Major League Baseball, and I saw one of your podcasts about there, your YouTube shows about that. We had one of our bosses actually worked for Major League Baseball, a guy named Andy Roth, and I was talking about you a couple of months ago, and he's like, oh, he's amazing. And he knew about one of the speeches that you had given to Major League Baseball and players about gambling. And here we are, you know, it's 2023. Gambling is legal in a lot of places. Sports gambling is legal in a lot of places. We saw this scenario happen or this scandal happen with the University of Alabama where it was, a family member? It wasn't even the coach that was gambling in Cincinnati about Alabama baseball. I mean, are these things that you see where you know, I'm afraid as an NFL fan, like we saw, was it Jameson Williams, Lima, get suspended for 6 games. We saw Calvin Ridley get suspended for a year. We're in Cleveland, and it's like the last thing we need is a guy getting suspended for any time because of gambling. Is this one of the things that you have to warn about? Just not about the vice or anything like that, but knowing the rules, knowing what you can and can't do?
Yeah, you know, it's. I was recruited out of prison, you know, to talk to all the players. I was recruited by all four of them, of the major, the pro leagues. And I started that in 96, and it was a great program. I mean, I've been doing it for over 20 years. So we started with the pros, and then the NCAA got in touch with me in 98, and I've probably visited a little over 300 schools in the past 20-some-odd years. And basically, you know, I'm not a prophet, but I certainly predicted that things were going to get worse, especially on the college level, because, you know, you have access. When you have more access to gambling, people are going to gamble more, especially athletes, because it's an extension of their competitiveness. You know, they raise the stakes in a competition, and they feed off of it. And unfortunately, you know, I had a major operation on the street. I had probably 12, 13 bookmakers that worked under me. We had a lot of athletes and league personnel that were gambling with us. Wow. And, it, you know, it was damaging back then to many of them. And, you know, now there's like a second round coming. I mean, I'm going to Alabama again. There's a couple of schools that have contacted me. So it's starting all over again. And, again, it's because of access. The more access you give to people who gamble, the more they're going to gamble. You know, it's funny. Back in New York, when they brought off-track betting in, you know, the state legalized gambling on, at the track. So they had these off-track betting parlors all throughout the city. And the cops came to me one time and they said, oh, we're going to put you guys out of business now. You're not going to need bookmakers. They'll come to the, you know, off-track betting. I said, yeah, well, let's see what happens. And they actually increased, you know, gambling on the street because why? You go to off-track betting, you got to put your credit card down and you got to pay cash. You know, they don't take credit. And what happens? Guys lose and a gambler is not going to stop because they lose. They go back to the street and they gamble again with the bookmaker because we gave them credit. So they actually increased it. The more you give access to people to gambling, the more the people are going to gamble. And you know, to me, it's going to be a major problem on the college level because these kids can't afford to lose. Pro level, different. You know, they can afford it. These guys making plenty of money and they gamble all the time, but they can afford to cover their losses. Different in college and different in high school.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Believe it or not, it's happening that young.
Well, when we've had Tim Donaghy on with us, the disgraced NBA official who we're happy to have on as many times as possible because he has interesting stories and fascinating, you know, basically taking us behind the curtain on what was happening in some pretty big NBA playoff games, Western Conference Finals, Lakers games. How prevalent was any of that stuff to your knowledge back in the day?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I knew Tim. I didn't know him during this issue, even though we heard about it back then, but we've spoken after that. But look, you know, basketball is a prime sport because you got five guys on the court. You got a referee that, remember this, it's never about winning or losing. It's all about the point spread. That's it. So you got a, you know, let's say a referee. You know, it's Christmas time. He wants to put a few extra dollars in his pocket or, you know, God forbid there's a health issue in his family he has to cover. You know, he can call a foul on any time they go down the court or he doesn't have to call one. So, you know, you'll go back in the day, not to mention anybody play now, but the Lakers are favored to win over Boston. And, you know, what do? Let's say they're favored to win by 10. So you target Kobe. You know, you put him on the bench a few more times, a few more minutes to manipulate the spread. It may not happen all the time in one game, but when you do that over a series of games, you're going to come out ahead. And who's going to know? If the referee doesn't tell anybody, who's going to know? You know, he's smart. He knows how to handle it. He knows what to do, what to not to do. You know, look, I think it's – I don't want to let people understand that this is happening in every game. It's not. It's the exception, not the rule. But don't rule it out. Does it happen? Absolutely. No question about it. You know, you can, and not only basketball, but it's a sport that you can manipulate pretty easily.
Michael Francis joining us on the show. I want to ask you about your show coming up at the Lorraine Palace Theater on June 24th. And I could keep you, I could try to keep you forever and ask you all these questions because it is fascinating. I do have to ask you, you've done a lot of interviews over a long period of time. From guys like us, so I either, if I've done it already, so I don't make the mistake again, or so I can avoid it in the future, what's the dumbest question you get about the mob that you go, all right, I guess I'll answer this, or you're just going to go, no, I'm not going to answer that, let's move on?
Well, you know, I couldn't even think of some of the questions, especially that I get online, you know, because I have a YouTube channel, and you get, you know, thousands of comments, and people ask the craziest things. I can't even remember them all, but, you know, I don't go through all of them. But, you know, the three questions that I get asked all the time, you can almost bet on it, almost guaranteed. And this is even in Singapore, Australia, where you say, how do these people know these things? But three questions. Number one, did you ever kill anybody? Number two, where's all the money that you had? Because, you know, my case involved, I think, $1 billion, they said, that we defrauded the government out of. And number three, where is Jimmy Hoffa buried? Those questions come up 90% of the time. And, you know, I answer them, obviously. But so don't worry about it. You're not going to ask me anything that I haven't been asked before. And nothing is that crazy. You know, look, people are curious. I get it. And so many people know the life only from what they see in the movies or what they read in, you know, in the media. So they don't know, and they're fascinated by it. I mean, if you see some of the questions, you'll probably laugh. I mean, it's really hysterical at times, but I get it. People are curious, and so we do the best answer. You know, that night, you know, I'll talk about the Cleveland mob. I'll talk about my lifestyle. I usually talk about some things that I haven't talked about online. We'll do a Q&A. You know, there's VIP section there. We go in the back afterwards, and I'll sign some books with people. We sign cards. We take photos together. It's always a great night. I've done these all over the world, and honestly, I enjoy them. And I'm looking forward to Cleveland. Great people there. It's like I said, so many people have reached out because I talked about it on my YouTube channel. And we're getting such support, so I'm really excited about it. And I got friends in Youngstown. I know a couple of people in Cleveland, so we're going to have a good time.
What movie adaptation would you say is the most accurate? Because we've all watched all the same movies, and so many of them are big and famous and then turned into blockbuster. And then, you know, most recently the Hoffa movie was, you know, they basically rebranded with Scorsese doing it and everything. What would you say, is there one that sticks out that you're like, damn, that was pretty spot on?
Okay, this is usually a surprise to everybody, but I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it again. The 1996 HBO movie with Armand DeSante was called Gotti. It was spot on. Anthony Quinn and Armand DeSante were nothing short of brilliant in that movie. And the movie was extremely accurate because a lot of the script was written from the transcripts of the tapes and the surveillance devices that were taken from Gotti, from the actual case. And it's probably my favorite movie. I mean, that's going to sound crazy. Now, not the recent Gotti, but 1996 Gotti, HBO. You can go on YouTube and watch it for free. It was just brilliant. Armand DeSante nailed that role. There's a scene in there where Anthony Quinn, who plays Neil Delacroix, is the underboss at the time. It's just amazing. Just a brilliant scene that gave me chills because it was so spot on about that life. So I tell everybody to watch it. I mean, Armand became a friend of mine because I've touted that movie so much, and he's just a great guy. But that was brilliant. Obviously, The Godfather, a brilliant movie, one and two, not three. Three is, they kind of lost their way on that. But they're fictional. You're a boss of the family. Your son doesn't automatically become the boss. It doesn't work that way. But it was a brilliant movie. Goodfellas, brilliant. They took dramatic liberty in that, of course, but it was done well. Donnie Brasco, I thought Donnie Brasco was brilliant. I met Joe Pistone once on the street. We're good friends now, but I tease him. I said, I'm glad I only met you once on the street. I probably wouldn't be talking to you now. I'd be in jail because he did his job so well. But I thought that was Al Pacino's greatest role. He just nailed Lefty Ruggiero. He did such a great job. His character was brilliant. And, of course, Bronxdale. I thought that... I thought it was Chaz Palminteri's greatest role. He nailed the character there. So, I mean, there's a lot of great ones. There really is. But for me, the most realistic, Gotti, 1996 HBO.
Now, you had mentioned Vegas earlier, and obviously we know Casino, but from your perspective, do you prefer the Vegas that exists now? A little corporatized, obviously a much different tourist attraction than it was, in the 1940s, 50s, 60s.
Oh, my. You know what? There's no comparison. Anytime I speak about Vegas and there's people in the crowd that are my age that experienced Vegas back in the day, back in the 60s, 70s, will tell you it was a far better town, when we had control there. It was wide open. It was just different. There's no comparison. And anybody my age or, that lived through that era will tell you the same. Oh, we want the mob back in Vegas. They ran it better. We had a better time back there. A lot of people will say that. And I certainly agree with that.
I know the pool scene is pretty nice right now.
What's that?
The pool scene is pretty nice right now.
Yeah, I guess. But you're probably too young to remember back then. Or maybe you weren't around. But it was good. It was different. It really was.
Find him on Twitter at Michael Francis. Find his website, michaelfrancis.com. He will be at the Lorraine Palace Theater June 24th, and he just told you. There will be a meet and greet for the VIPs. Show starts at 7 p.m. Get your tickets available at michaelfrancis.com. Check out his YouTube page. I am a subscriber. His latest one, which he posted yesterday, which was what he feared in the mob life, which I'm sure is very good. I haven't got a chance to sit down and watch that one yet. I did watch the Pizza Connection one that came out earlier last week, Michael. So obviously, yes, I can prove I am a subscriber to your YouTube page. Everybody, go check out the show June 24th. Get tickets, michaelfrancis.com. Michael, thank you very much for the time.
Guys, I appreciate it. Hope to see you there. You're going to be visiting?
It's my birthday weekend, so I got to try to convince my wife to get out there. Yes, I do. But I'm on the east side of Cleveland. I'm not on the west side, so it's a bit of a hike.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll hook up. If not, maybe another time. Maybe I'll see you down in Little Italy.
Yes, sir. Would look forward to it. Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care. Thanks a lot.
You too. Michael Francis, former capo of the Colombo crime family. Fabulous. Absolutely fabulous.
Boy, and that makes me want to go see that movie.
Which
the
one?
Gotti. The HBO
Oh, the HBO
version.
One? Yeah, I didn't even know.
Yeah, because I always wonder which ones even remotely resemble what life was.
Corky
truly
Romano.
Like. Yeah, exactly.
Easily. So that was fun. Oh, that was nice. Look at you.
And the gambling component of it is just unbelievable. And he says, obviously, he's familiar with Tim Donaghy for even friendly. I will always wonder, just back then, what was that like? What was that like in terms of games that were fixed? Because now they have a handle on this so fast. They can just look at the betting lines. They can see what they mm-hmm. know is going to be influenced before it even starts. That's why games get taken off the board, and there's so much. Think about it. It was the Ohio Gaming Commission that took that baseball game, Alabama baseball, basically their whole season, and said, nope, we're seeing some irregularities. There were a couple bets that are way too high. You know, back then, was that necessarily the case?
Well, our boss had kind of said, hey, like, that's kind of the way they did it. Because I wanted to bring that up with him, and he said, have you seen this story? He goes, that's kind of the way everybody thinks. It's just like, oh, we'll get you a car, and you can do this. And it's like, they'll get close to a family member. And you remember that 30 for 30, like, playing for the mom? It's like the one guy who was playing for Boston College, and Henry Hill said, it's like, oh, well, if you don't want to play, then how's that girlfriend of yours doing down there?
Right.
Okay, well, now that the story changes. So that's... those are the interesting things that get brought up. But Michael Francis, good stuff, and looking forward to seeing that. Hopefully I'll be able to get out there on June 24th. That is my birthday weekend. Do I still treat birthday weekends like a birthday weekend as a 30-something-year-old man?
Yes. You should actually get even more hyped about it now.
Really?
Yes.
You sure about that?
You have more resources now.
What does that mean?
You can have a better celebration. You could start to really take inventory on how important these things are in this moment of time. You know, back in your 20s, every birthday seemed the same. Now they need to be elevated.
Owen's, are you saying Owen's I'm having less and less of them coming
I'm
up?
I'm just saying, well, I sure. just received a text that said it'd be in your best interest to be present.
All right. Well, we'll try. June 24th. We're brought to you by Extend. Thank you very much.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.